Amen. Hallelujah. I learned something this morning. Christ is risen. Amen. You may be seated. I learned it in Greek, as a matter of fact. Christos arestes. So he is risen indeed. Well, we want to welcome you this morning to Mount Air Christian Church, and we are very glad that you are here. We can turn the lights on if y'all are good with that. It is such a beautiful day, even though it was a little chilly, that I am really glad that you took the opportunity to join us so that we can just glorify our Lord. It's really one of those occasions in the life of the church where we just want to soak in the Spirit of God. We just want to hear Him speak to us and speaks to our spirit and our souls. And I hope that today, as we go through our service, that you will have a real encounter with that Spirit. And today we engage in that celebration in the context of a world that is not quite as we would like it to be. Right?
Not perfect.
It is complex. It is challenging. We're experiencing disasters after disasters. Some of them natural and some of them unnatural. There's wars and rumors of wars. There is a explosion of folks that are without a home, families, individuals. And there's an aging population that has to deal with a myriad of issues. There's a Me Too movement going on that includes an identity crisis and relationship crisis, because we live in one of the most connected times that we can think of, and still we're lonely. Still we feel disconnected. It's like an epidemic in loneliness. And that doesn't include all our mental health situations that seem to be on the increase. Even with so many high-tech and scientific treatments. I mean, we have more science now than we ever knew about. And still, we're dealing with these things. The cost of living, especially here in Denver, is skyrocketing. And in the midst of all of that, we have just parties that are fighting with each other, and we don't seem to have solutions. It's baffling. I just don't get it. We also look at a church. I don't know if you noticed there, it's quite in the distance. And it looks lonely. Sometimes the church feels that way. Like there's also a disconnect. Like there's a lot of word of hope within, but a hard time to connect with the outside. Even though I believe that this is the only place that we can really feel the Spirit of God. This is the only place where we can really connect with this God that is with us. Where's the hope? Where's the hope? If it's not in the fact that that tomb is empty. If it's not in the fact that out of that window, there's a light, and that light is Jesus Christ. Amen. So what does the resurrection mean to us in this day and age? And that's what we're going to explore today. We're going to explore it in different ways, and I hope and I pray that you will join us. That you will go along with us in this adventure. It's going to be fun. Oh, well, that's what I think anyway. And we're going to start with a report. We're going to have Mary's report. And Jim Gregory is going to help us do that. He will be reading a poem that he wrote that is called Mary's Report.
Before I get started, did you see the message that came up on the screen? Hmm. If you want life extension, you should clean your filter. On the other hand, if you want real life extension, trust in the resurrection.
I love it.
Before I start, the poem is based on all four Gospels. It's the account on Easter morning as the women go to bring spices to the body and finish the burial process. So I tried to bring all the Gospels together in one message. One thing I want you to note is that they see the burial cloth in the tomb. Now, if you connect that with stealing the body, why would you leave the burial cloth and take the body? It's a much cleaner process if you use the cloth and not leave it behind, okay? So bear with me as we go through a Mary's report from the eyes of one of the Marys, or maybe even both of the Marys. Early Sunday morning, before sunrise, I arose. Anoint the body was the plan, everyone knows. We took spices for a dead body to meet. It was our last act before Jesus could forever sleep. We wondered how we would roll the stone away when we reached the tomb on this week's first day. Ask the guards for help was the plan. Surely they would accompany burial spices for this man. But before we reached the guards to make our demand, an earthquake began to violently shake the land. An angel of the Lord was there that day to roll the heavy stones away. I might make a point that this artwork is about the right size for the stone that we saw in Israel. And so, anyway, it was much heavier. The angel stood there bright as lightning and white as snow. The guards began to shake. They were terrified, you know. Now, a major change had occurred to our plan. The guards didn't move, each appearing dead, every man. At the tomb, as we quietly entered in, a young man in white sat there with a grin. He was an angel too, we did suspect, looking around an empty tomb, we did detect. We had gone there with spices to mourn, we with burial spices would adorn. The message given to us was, he has risen. We saw burial cloths where he had been. Tell the disciples and Peter, we were told. Trembling and bewildered, we left not very bold. We did as told and hurried away. We were filled with joy instead of sadness that day. Now on our way back to the disciples to meet, Jesus greeted us. We worshiped and touched nail-scarred feet. Then to the disciples we went. After all, we were God sent. The disciples ran to where the guards had been. Then they waited for Peter to first enter in. The tomb was empty, it was clear. Peter would need more for his faith to be sincere. Now the guards were a mess as they did report how an angel their guard duty did abort. They reported every detail very clear. Failed guard duty meant death, they did fear. But instead of their death and demise, the chief priests and elders a lie did devise. A large amount of money guards did receive. All they had to do was lie and deceive. Now the irony to this story, you see, women overpowering trained guards, a difficulty. But the story was sent out and circulated to Jews all about. Now let me be absolutely clear. The disciples didn't believe until Jesus did appear. Now I was troubled and crying with anxiety until Jesus addressed me and the teacher I did see. Next I went to the disciples with the news. I was excited and no longer had the blues. On this evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were behind the locked doors, appearing weak. But locked doors did not prevent Jesus from coming through. They recognized him. His resurrection, now they knew. Now, as we remember this event and faith renew, remember Jesus overcame death for me and you.
Amen. Amen.
Indeed. Now, I thought a lot about how this service celebration could be, and I figured it was better if we had participation from others, because I'm sure you're bored about me already. So, we've been asking, what does it mean? Where's the hope? What is it that really makes a difference for believers going in through this world with all the challenges and again all these complexities. And I figure we'd ask those who are around us. So I'm going to ask a few of us to come up and join us up here in the stage. Scott, you can go. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's all right. Come on, guys. Nobody's going to bite. All right. Good deal. Move up here. Now, I have a great imagination, but I the problem with me is in the execution. But I figure we'd do something like an interview with these folks about their experiences and ask what is it that they figure is that keeps them going. Now, we're going to need to pass this guy around. And Scott, since you volunteered first.
Oh, I did? Okay. Little did I know.
So let me ask you, Scott, how did you come to know the Lord?
This is how I came to know the Lord. This is my redemption story. A few years ago, my brother Stanley passed, and he was also my best friend. Depression consumed me at the time. It was eating me alive, to be honest with you. She didn't know it at the time, but Sophia was the only reason I kept going. Mm-hmm. Jesus was the furthest thing from my mind. I think I needed a miracle. Mm-hmm. A few months later, God gave me a miracle. He showed me several supernatural signs. I wouldn't expect any of you to believe me. I barely believe them myself. I took a photo of one of them to show Sophia so she wouldn't think I'm totally nuts. I knew that there was something else out there besides this world. There was God out there. Sophia's mom, Jennifer, said I should check out this Joel Osteen program. I did, and at the end of each show, he would encourage us to find a Bible-based church, and that resonated with me for many, many months. Find a Bible-based church, and I kept thinking about it. I didn't do it, but I kept thinking about it. And Sophia and I started searching for a church in the spring of 2015. We went to a few of a Mile High Church. I don't know what they were doing there. I have no idea. But I was also unemployed at the time, and I decided to volunteer for Meals on Wheels, or God volunteered for me, I think. It so happened that the meals would be picked up here at Mount Air Christian Church. There I met a nice man named Calvin Craggs. I asked him a little about the church, and he told me that I should come to worship at 10:15 on Sunday. I did, and I am so happy I did. I will always remember how friendly and welcoming the whole congregation was, especially the late Harley Warren. As I was sitting there during passing of the peace, he came up to me smiling, gently shook my hand, and welcomed me. What a kind soul he was. It meant so much to me, it still does. August 16th of that year, Sophia and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are redeemed, we are free and forgiven. Jesus lives, and hallelujah.
Now, I'm not going to let you escape just with what you have written. We know that in the lost, we sort of have this idea that there's something missing. But now that you have found life, and now that you have found Christ in your life, how is it that you keep the hope? Because life goes on.
Yes, it does. Yes, I mentioned earlier with the passing of my brother Stanley, I felt very little hope at the time. Excuse me. Now I am overjoyed to know that the Holy Spirit dwells within me. The Holy Spirit dwells within each of us. Isn't it great to know that we have life abundant now and eternal life with Jesus once we pass? I will hold on to that hope the rest of my days. Recently, another brother, John, went home to be with the Lord. For more than 50 years, he was my brother, yet I didn't truly know him till the last few months of his life. He shared with me some very personal things then. He said he got saved a few years ago. I had no idea of that until he recently became terminally ill with liver cancer. I thank God every time I think of John now. I will see him again. When he finally passed, I felt very little sorrow. I rejoiced. He is with Christ in heaven. And this is from one of my favorite songs. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday is gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. We have all been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Scott. Now, Rhonda is probably one of the youngest among us. She laughs. That means that you've been one of the most recent to join our congregation here. I just want to ask you, what role does faith play in your life?
If I didn't have faith, which I'm still kind of a baby in mm-hmm. faith, so sometimes that fades, and I have to find that in people that I surround myself by. That's all of you. But it plays a huge role in my life. Sometimes I don't think about it really, and other times it gets me through hours mm-hmm. of desperation. Sometimes it gets me through minutes that I don't think I can bear. And sometimes it gets me through the seconds just to take that next breath. But I know that next breath is the breath that God gave me.
Amen.
So that is my hope, and that makes me stronger.
Amen. As we well know, we struggle still, right? We do live a life that is real. It's not a fake thing. I don't think of us as wearing masks, trying to appear as if everything is okay in our lives. We struggle. So what keeps you going?
When God met me mm-hmm. on the side of the road mm-hmm. one day, he gave me a song in my heart, mm-hmm. and it's not a worship song. It's his song and his spirit that lives in me, and that I can truly take with me every day. I can take it everywhere. I can take it to work. I can live in that truth and stand on that. So I value that, and I'm increasingly being encouraged every day, even when I have to silence myself and silence my mind from all the day and all the havoc and all the destruction and things that we have. I can silence and hear him speak to me. So that keeps me there.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Great. We're going to invite a special member of our congregation. Her name's Kathy Scott. Would you help her? She's going to share a song with us.
Happy Easter.
of all treasures and wonders of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, rejected out of love, you live to die with your mind destroyed.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, you got your microphone already. Well, Shirley, how would you explain your relationship with the church?
If it were not for this church, I wouldn't be sitting here alive today. Mm-hmm. I lived about a block from this church for about 15 years, thought about it, never came. One day I did. I was sitting in the first pew and thinking, I don't belong here. I'm going to leave. Felt a tap on the shoulder. Hi, I'm Harley Bourne. Welcome to our church.
That's funny.
Like Scott. A few Sundays later, I'm in Norma's Sunday school class. A few weeks or months later, she has me back up teaching. So I'm doing something. A little bit later, Lynn Longfield says, would you like to be a deacon and help out with communion? Oh, yes. So that's how I started being drawn in. The people in this church, in this building, grew my faith and gave me reason and gave me hope and gave me life. And as time went on, I just started doing more and more. And it came to the point where once I was a member, and began working with the communion more, my faith really grew because communion is so important to me. And now I have the privilege and I have the honor of every Sunday being able to prepare this meal for all of you and share it with you. For all that you have given me, this small gesture is a gift to you with all my love and with all my heart.
Amen.
And I know you touched a little bit on this already, but how would you say that service helps in that relationship with God?
Well, as people know, I'm a reader, and I've been reading a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called The Cost of Discipleship. Mm-hmm. In it, he makes this quote that has become a standard for me. The response of faith is the willing gift of service to others. And what I do, as I said, is my gift. And I've also made small gifts for you that will hopefully give you a little hope with a physical gesture, and you'll get those later in the service. But my hope is that if I do this Christian thing right, if I learn to grow in faith and love and devotion, as in Matthew 25, when the master spoke to the steward, my master will speak to me and say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now we're going to speak to the chair of our elders, Ellen. How did you meet Mount Air Christian Church?
4 years ago, David retired and we picked up and moved and he got a new job. We left behind a church family of 30 years at First Christian Church of North Kansas City and all of our friends and two sets of aging parents there in Missouri. We settled in Lakewood and we visited several churches and Mount Air was one of them. And the first time we walked in, Linda Thompson was bubbling over with excitement and said, "Let me give you a tour." So she took us on a tour of the church and we saw all the painted walls of the children's section and came up on into the church. And Harley Warren greeted us and said, "Oh, let me give you a church directory." And we thought, "Not yet." And he was just one of the many that extended his hand of fellowship. And another person that we met was Chuck Thompson, and he also greeted us so friendly. This church is very friendly, and we decided to join it. And we loved all the welcoming people in it. We liked that it had some contemporary music. It offered many outreach opportunities. We enjoyed the jovial pastor and his sermons, and we just felt at home. We felt at home here, and we liked the mission-oriented aspect of it, and the people were friendly and very genuine. Mm-hmm.
And you touch a little bit about service. Would you share some of what you know, and how do you serve in the community, and what opportunities are there out there?
Mount Air Christian Church offers many opportunities for involvement. We have Sunday school at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings for the adults. We have the children's church ministry program during the church service. We can volunteer as greeters. We work with the Whiz Kids program too for the middle school kids. We tutor 15 middle school kids and there are 15 volunteer tutors every Tuesday night here in our building, October through April, and we can always use more tutors. We house the Hattie Pearl breakfast and sack lunch program Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday mornings. We have the food bank that Nyoka runs with volunteers several days a week. There's the Hands of the Carpenter program that helps women who are in need with car help, vehicle help. We have the Easter celebration that was yesterday. We had wonderful volunteers here. We had 33 kids here. It was a fabulous program.
It was 36.
36. Okay. I missed a few. Okay. We have our annual free Thanksgiving dinner that's open to the community. Another thing is the Mulholme School is looking for volunteers, and that's through the Faith Coalition. So there are many opportunities to volunteer here at Mount Air.
Good. And what is it that you can tell us about your vision for the future of the church?
Well, the vision for the future of our church, the hope for the future, there are many opportunities. So opportunities abound to create more open doors to connect to people. Things that I would like to see at our church for the future would be a men's Bible study. I think that's really important. The women really enjoy the fellowship and studying the word, and I think that'd be good for the men. Offering small groups or community groups for members and just friends of the church outside of the church setting. A young mother's nighttime group. And maybe a new worship service that would be during the week and with a different format. So I pray that God will equip us and empower us through His Holy Spirit as we have hope in our future.
Amen. Well, thank you all. Thank you. Help me put those chairs back. Yeah. Now, I want you to notice, with exception of a very little and short comment, none of that had to do with the pastor. That plug I didn't pay for. None of that had to do with the pastor. To me, this is very significant. Because it is not up to one person to really make the Spirit of God flow in this place. It takes all of us. It takes participation. It takes willingness. Even those who really didn't have a relationship with Christ or with the church that was formal and have come to Christ, they have put themselves in that place, in that position. That's one of the only reasons why Scott is standing up here. He's really shy. But it's interesting that when Christ calls us, I tell you, if God did not bring Christ out of that tomb, I wouldn't be standing here. I truly believe that is because He's alive, that we can be stronger. We're going to have a special song now.
Jesus. from the Bible, the resurrection story of Jesus. You'll hear some of this from Jim's poem. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but I think we're missing an interview.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'd like to ask you, where's the hope?
That's not fair. Yes, it is. Well, I'm glad you asked. Before I answer your question, I've been told that if the little ones are able and want to follow that lady in the blue over there, she's going to do the Sunday children's school, so you're welcome to follow her. Well, I will address that question. But I'm going to do it in the context of what we've been hearing for some weeks now. If you've been participating in our congregation for this little while, we have been going through a journey through the Gospel of Mark. And we know that this was the first gospel that was written out of the four. And we have learned some things, and I like to bring them together here because they speak directly to where I find that there is hope. Now, Mark does focus in the person of Jesus, but not only in the person, but his actions. This gospel is intent on showing us what Jesus did. And added to that is what Jesus proclaimed. Right? We've been talking about this word, proclamation. And it seems to me like everyone that was sitting here did a little bit of that. There's a proclamation of what God means for us, what Jesus has done in our lives, and how we continue to look forward through it. So he exposes that for us, and you may say, well, proclamation of what? Well, in a nutshell, it's a proclamation of the good news. And what are the good news? That the restaurants are open on Easter? I think that's good, but I don't think that that's the good news. You see, Mark does go through the work of witnessing to us. He witnesses to Jesus' deeds, and he tells us what Jesus did, And here's the list. He healed people. He cleansed people from bad spirits or bad ailments. He taught people about the kingdom of God. He cured people from mental disorders. He fed the masses even with next to nothing. He walked the water. And I wish they'd make a movie out of that. Because he did without a surfboard. Right?
Yes.
He also corrected traditions. The traditions of the elders that have been somewhat accommodated just to fit their own ways of doing things and focused everybody on their own concept and ideas, and he showed them the way. The heart of our rituals, the heart of the reason why we do things, is what he tried to convey to us. And Jesus did engage in theological debate. He did engage with those who were the teachers of the law, those who were the enforcers of the law. Now, Peter himself had a revelation about this Jesus that we talk about, and he declared it to Jesus himself. He says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Messiah," which to the Jews meant that he was the one that was promised to liberate them. Now, Jesus, of course, did much more than that. He prophesied. He told his disciples about his death and his resurrection. You remember that he entered the city of Jerusalem, right? In triumph. And people were yelling, "Hosanna to the Son of David." He sat at the table with the disciples and he celebrated a Passover meal that was different. A Passover meal that identified him. Not a lamb, but him. As the one that would feed them. He sort of personified all the symbolism that they had been practicing for hundreds of years. In it, he said, Jesus is more than just a person. He is life. And he is life for those who believe. Then he was delivered. He was delivered to the leaders of the time, the Jews. And he was delivered by one who really did not understand. He did not get Jesus' actions. He believed that Jesus was completely out of it, because he kept his focus on the material. He kept his focus on the things rather than on the person that was with him. He just couldn't get it. That Jesus' priority was not money, was not position. So the next thing we know, Jesus is condemned and crucified and dead. And he's put in a tomb. But here's the kicker. Up to that moment, things are sort of normal. But then Mary and the other women come to the tomb on a third day. And they show up, as we have read in Mark. And they look. And they don't see Jesus in the tomb. He's not there. Now, here's how I answer the question about where's the hope. For me, the journey of life and faith was similar to a lot of people. I heard the story when I was a child. I was young. I was coming to church. I sang the hymns. I heard the gospel. Heard the preaching. I not only talked the talk, but I walked the walk. And when I was 15 years old, someone started to put thoughts in my mind about what I was doing and that there must be more to life than just church. He said, you know, maybe there are other things in this world that will fill the gap for you. So guess what I did? Like a lot of people, I went and investigated. And I tried. I tried a different walk. I tell you, I went for it fully. I really wanted to experience life. I wanted to know what the excitement that a lot of people were talking about was. Unfortunately, it all came full circle, you know. I was sort of late, though, because when I realized where I was in life, I think it was a little too late. And I'll explain. It was a little too late because I had engaged in a lifestyle that really didn't have anything for me. I had engaged in a lifestyle with my friends, my buddies, quote unquote, that really left me empty. Where's the hope? I was dead. But somehow, God was still present in my life. I tell you, I suffered the consequences of my actions. Anybody? In a matter of speaking, I'm still suffering from that. Because those experiences linger. They're in the memory. They're not forgotten. And the struggle becomes real. Because even though Jesus showed up and spoke to me and delivered me from where I was, I still had all those memories with me. And they kept saying, "You? You? Who do you think you are? I know. I know where you've been. You know how, right, the evil one is. I know where you've been. I know what you've done. You're not such a santito." I'll translate that for you. "You're not so holy." That's why I say that I think it was a little bit too late. Because I allowed myself to experience a life that really is still bothering me.
Where's the hope? This is where the hope is. Even when I hear all the accusations, even when I go back in my life, and even when I experience all my sinful being, I know that Jesus is there. I can tell you this, resurrection does make a difference. A day like today, we celebrate a day where resurrection is what makes the difference. Because it is the thing not only that happened, it is the thing that we are experiencing, and it is the thing that we will experience. You follow me? That is something that we can carry with us, even where we're in the struggles. Even when the things don't go our way, even where we're in the hole and feel desperate and feel like singing the blues, right? Anybody been there? To me, resurrection is life. Resurrection means that the Father cared for me, cared for you, cared for His people. And there's this text that really speaks to me. It's found in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, says Jesus, that they, and that means you and I, may have life, and have life abundantly. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That they may have life, and life abundant.
Yes. Amen.
This is where I get excited, because I thought that I was living abundant life when I was surfing. You see, I thought that I was living abundant life when I was camping. I thought that I was living abundant life when I was out there. But God has shown me the real abundant life is that hope. Is that hope that comes from knowing that regardless of what things happen in your life, and all the circumstances that surround us, and all that destruction, and all the political turmoil, and all the stuff that the news want to share with us and invade our minds with, is nothing compared to the abundant life that God offers. Amen. To us.
Amen.
And I asked him, well, Jesus, if this is what you offer, I want to know what it is. I want to experience that. I want to experience that abundance of life. And you know, this is what I have experienced. Shirley shared with you that in the service is where she's found connection. In service is where you find your hands busy. But I found something even more than that is that the crisis of identity that I had is no longer. That crisis that comes from thinking that you're there but maybe not. Hello, anyone?
Okay.
It's no longer. Because I have hope not in the things that I can do, but hope in the one that has done it all for me.
Amen.
You're with me?
Praise God.
And that's really what makes the difference. Yes. Resurrection is hope for the hopeless. and it is life for the lifeless. And He is our all in all. And that's what I celebrate today. That's why I find myself in front of you today, speaking these words, singing these songs, because they are truth and they are life for me. And I would like to take a moment and ask you, if you find yourself in that place where you're just rejoicing, if you find yourself in that place where you know that you can overcome things even though they seem insurmountable, and if you don't, I'd like to invite you just to take a moment and ask the giver of life to come and provide that life for you. I tell you, there's no way that He's not going to show up.
Amen.
Let's sing this song together, Cornerstone. You may stand.
Let's sing that again.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Savior's love through the storm.
with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.